Welcome to Paper Money, the bi-weekly podcast covering the business side of the game industry. I'm Ben Clark.
And I'm Rhett Kipp.
Today is September 24th, 2011. And Rhett, I should have said welcome back to Paper Money. We've been gone a while.
About a month.
We might have been gone 6 weeks, month and a half.
Wow.
Actually, by the time this show gets out. And to our listeners, thank you for coming back. I want to apologize to everyone. Right after Gen Con, real life intruded on Rhett and I in so many ways, from me moving, hopefully for the last time in a long time, and soccer season started up here. I know Rhett's got Rhett's kids went back to school as well. I think there was a vacation in there. Got a little insane.
Yeah.
So one of the
new
things,
job.
A new job for Rhett. We'll talk about that in a minute. And really what came down is while we were off, and we actually had show notes for a show that never quite developed. We'll be using some of those tonight. But one of the things I did actually was sat down, and we have a show Bible now going out 1 year. And we also have a slightly different format. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But again, welcome back. We're happy to be back. We plan to be here for a while. Hope nobody had too big of a scare that we were gone for so long. But we're going to be...
Shouldn't have been our October 31st.
Blue, blue. Yeah, I feel like Count Floyd. This is a 3D house of gaming. Blue. Scary stuff, kids. Anyways, the long story short, we're back. Going to be doing shows every 2 weeks for you. And we got a show to do for you right now, and I'm going to quit saying anyways. Maybe I can edit that out in post. What do you think?
It would be unique.
Thank you. All right. Let it be known that approximately a minute and a half into the first show in a while, Rhett mocked me, and quite frankly, deservedly so. All right. Our news this week. This is a little old, but let's hit it. Gen Con sets an attendance record. Turnstile attendance was over 119,707 in which case it would have been 119,708.
Or at least 100,000.
I'm guessing there was someone who may have sneaked in. And it was with 36,733 unique attendees present for 96 hours of gaming, cosplay, music, shopping, and more. I would put cosplay way down the list. This positive spike in turnout represents a greater than 20% increase in a single year. Game event participation grew even more steeply, with over 250,000 event tickets yielding an over 26% expansion throughout the best 4 days of gaming. Between family fun and regular Sunday badges, nearly 3,000 additional people joined Gen Con Sunday. That's a lot of people, Rhett. I was not expecting attendance to be that huge, and I expected it to go up, but a 20% increase in warm bodies is pretty impressive.
Yeah, it felt that way, you know, being there and running events that we did and the situations that we had with them. It certainly felt like there were a lot of people, and 3,000 additional bodies is pretty interesting given that's one day, and that's like twice as big as most conventions.
Well, with the exception of the one coming up in October in Germany, which we'll mention later.
Yes.
But that's huge. That's 3,000 people additional on Sunday. Normally, Sunday, as you know, is kind of a dead day.
Yeah.
I mean, it's busy until noon, and then you could fire a cannon down the halls by 2 o'clock. But it was different this year, wasn't it?
It was. It was pretty active throughout the whole period.
Yeah, I couldn't get the hell out of Dodge. I ran the triathlon in the morning, and so that put me off, you know, doing the floor and stuff on Sunday. But I was there at 4 o'clock. It was much busier than I had a right to expect.
Yeah, we were busy at the booth up until literally they were throwing people out.
Yeah. So it was a very good day. I think everyone sold well this year. Let me rephrase that. Obviously, your results may vary. Depending on booth location, popularity of game, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But the floor seemed crowded. People seemed to be buying. And with, like I said, with that big increase in attendance. Now, again, it's a 20% increase in attendance, but 3,000 of those came for Gen Con Sunday, which was kind of a deal. So that's 10% right there, I think. But again,
still,
this is huge. The convention
sign,
economy
though.
Is back, is what I'm is where I'm going with this.
Absolutely.
And if you're doing a show at a convention, if you're going to exhibit at a convention, this is really good news, because now you can get the word out on your product at a convention without being terrified that the convention is gonna fall on its face. So I think this is good news for all the conventions. This is good news for Gen Con, good news for Origins, good news for Dragon Con, and San Diego Comic Con, whatever kind of a show that is anymore. Do they even have comics there, or do they just have movie debuts?
No, they do. They do have comics. They do have a lot of other media events. It has become the other media event. Now, what I will say for Comic Con is that local people for the Chicago Comic Con, who were very first time for gaming, said that the gaming end was very active.
Excellent!
They were very surprised and very happy.
Excellent, excellent. So, if anyone wants to pay my way out to San Diego, I'll be happy to go. Now, one of the interesting things about Gen Con, by the way, this year, is in the press release I got, they also announced their dates for like the next 4 or 5 years.
Well, they do that.
Yes.
They do that regularly.
Correct. The dates for 2015, July 30th to August 2nd.
I know. You're disappointed. You think this is too early.
I think that's way too early.
I think the problem is that, you know, I look at what's going on with my kid in school and all that, and they're being asked to go back to school like on the 14th.
Of August.
Of August. So this is getting
right, but
to the point of if they had it the following week, which would be what the – you said the end date was the 2nd, so correct. The end date would be the 9th.
Right.
That would preclude a lot of college kids being able to go. If they're starting on the 14th, they're going back to school on the 7th.
I guess I have a problem with this because in my mind, this is Origins used to run July 27th to July 30th.
No. Origins was always the first part of July. First part of July.
No, it wasn't. Because it used to be you could do the Puffing Billy folks in Chicago would organize a – there used to be like a 2 or 3 day gap between Origins and Gen Con, and they would do Origins, and then they would fill in the gap with gaming – locally, and then they would go to Gen Con. I swear.
I think you're mistaken.
All right, maybe I'm mistaken. So if anyone is a Puffing Billy guy in the Chicago area who remembers this, maybe I'm remembering the...
I think there was a second show in the Chicagoland area.
All right, maybe there was just a train game show. Anyways, it's still too early. I don't care.
Okay.
Look, I stand on my right. I'm going to stand firm on my right to be a curmudgeon. It's too early. I'm not even thinking about Gen Con until like the 1st of August.
It is, having not seen the Origins date, it is going to be hectic. I know that prepping for Gen Con and, you know, going in this year, which was like on the 1st, it was crazy. And having to go in, because if the show starts on the 30th, that means that we'll be in attendance on like the 27th or the 28th.
Right. I think it's going to be a logistical challenge depending on when Origins is that year. I haven't seen when Origins is in 2015. So, but anyways, I understand that it makes sense as the school start dates. I know in the South, they're starting back almost the beginning of August on schools and, grade schools and high schools. The universities never really started until about the week before the week of Labor Day, but really, July 30th just strikes me as really early for the convention, and I'm going to quit talking about it because we're going to move on to our next story.
Here we go.
That is another pet topic on which I can go on and on. That's the CPSIA. For those of you who don't know, the CPSIA is the Consumer Product Safety Improvement Act. Now, this was a huge hubbub for the last several years because basically it meant that you were going to have to test everything that a 12-year-old or less would touch. So if you made any kind of a game at all, you were going to have to submit it for product testing. This included, you know, game books. This included board games. This included the plastic pieces. It was a huge, huge deal. The CPSC, the Consumer Product Safety Commission, kept delaying implementation of it, though, because the law as written was so incredibly flawed. Now, we have... As of August 14th, I'm going to read this straight. This is from the Purple Pawn, by the way, as was our last the last post was direct from Gen Con, but this is from the Purple Pawn. President Obama signed into law H.R. 2715, an amendment to the CPSIA. Of particular interest to gamers, game manufacturers, and game retailers, grants the CPSC authority to exempt a product, class of product, material, or component part from the lead content standard if it is not likely to be placed in the mouth or ingested. If It's not likely to be placed in the mouth. You know, no one thought that about those little magnetic ball things either. That it's not Kinect, it's another thing. Anyways, the good news here is that you don't have, basically, you used to have to, if you had a card game, you used to have to get it tested for lead. Okay, now you don't. Because they're probably going to exempt it. It exempts used children's products from the lead content standard, which means all the resale shops in the country are not dead on arrival. Apply testing requirements to representative samples instead of random samples. This is also good for you. It's better for the large companies than it is for the anybody else, but this is also good. It exempts books and ordinary paper-based printed products such as magazines and posters from third-party testing requirements. My guess is that eventually this will be extended to things like game boards and cards. And finally, it prohibits the CPSC from requiring third-party testing from, quote-unquote, small-batch manufacturers, unquote, until the CPSC has provided alternative testing requirements or an exemption for products of which 10,000 or fewer are made in a calendar year. A small-batch manufacturer is defined as a manufacturer's total gross sales in the previous calendar year was no more than $1 million. In devising alternative testing requirements, the CPSC must consider economic and other limitations. Okay, so that's a really long-winded way of saying basically the game industry just got off the hook.
Yeah, pretty much.
I apologize for doing that so long. We haven't talked about the the CPSIA in a long time, but that last bit about exempting small-bitch manufacturers.
Good morning.
Yeah, we're a little rusty, aren't we? The small-batch manufacturers, that's the whole game industry.
The $1 million thing definitely exempts very few of them. There's a lot of multi-million-dollar companies.
Yes, but the exemption of products of which 10,000 or fewer are made in a calendar year?
That's true if that's the extent of the exemption. That would pretty much mean that none of the anything's RPG, you know, there's still quite a bit of the industry.
Sure. There are a lot, but the people who sell more than 10,000 of a single unit can afford to test.
Well, and the big thing here is that, you know, they're exempting books and a lot of other things. And for most games, that's the thing that's being massively printed. You know, you're seeing RPGs that are doing those kind of numbers. You see some board games. But again, my guess is that the card games and the other things that are going to fall under that, and pretty much I suspect most of this industry will fall under the exemptions.
Oh, yes. Even if you're thinking about games, right, most everything Real Grand Prints has a print run of less than 10,000. Yeah. Dominion accepted, right, and a few other core games.
Now, the interesting one is, you know, will they exempt things like the GW games or more? Actually, GW's almost exclusively moved away from metal this year.
Right, and they might be, and GW might have done what a lot of the industry's done and started labeling for 14+.
Right,
exactly. Which also exempts you by virtue of the fact that it's not going to be used by a kid.
So I guess in conclusion here is good news for the industry.
Hugely good news. Again, this was a confusing law, and for those of you who are longtime listeners, you've heard me go on and on and on about it when I was in manufacturing, in printing. This was a huge source of confusion for everyone. This is a big wow. This is a big sigh of relief for everybody who was worried about the, you know, hammer dropping on this thing. The hammer dropped, and it turned out to be plastic, you know. So they're gonna fix it. The law is gonna be fixed. It's gonna be good, and we're gonna move on to Essen.
Woohoo, Essen! Essen Spiel,
the world's largest game exhibition. That's gonna be in October, the 20th to 23rd. There are, to put this in perspective, Gen Con is huge. At Essen,
Essen's insane.
Essen has 100,000+ attendees, not 36,000 like at Gen Con, 100,000+. And hundreds of new games are released. So, Austrian Games Museum has launched the online Game Buyer Information System. Optimized for mobile access, GABIS is a database of games that will be on display in Essen. Users can search by publisher, designer, number, or age of players, and other factors. Users can also rate games as they see them, with GABIS compiling the ratings into top 10 and a top 3 lists. So Essen, huge, requires a database.
Yeah, and it's an exciting database. We'll see how this goes over.
Rhett, would you? We're gonna in a few short weeks. We're going to be doing our year end wrap up, and we're gonna see if our predictions are right. And I think Essen is going to be a key indicator of how some of our predictions went.
And I think you're absolutely
in terms of
right.
In terms of number of board games released. We both talked about that. So again, check out the Game Buyer Information System, GABIS, GABIS. That's Austrian Games Museums who put that together. Rhett, have you been to Essen? I have never been.
I have never actually gotten to go to Essen.
We're going to have to get somebody. Maybe I can get somebody from Mayfair or something like that, because they go all the time. We'll have to see if we can get them on the show.
Yeah, I'll just have to flash my baby blues and hope someone finally decides it's my turn to go.
I think it's your turn to go, Rhett.
Well, 15 years I've been pushing for that. And so far. Yeah.
Learn German.
I speak it poorly.
I've seen your emails. I wouldn't say you do much better with English, but that's...
Well, I speak English better than I write.
But I'm just getting you back for getting me at the beginning of the show.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. And finally, Airship Pirates. This is a role-playing game. It's available for download from RPG Now this week. I'd like to point out that I have a print copy, one of only 70 flown in for Gen Con. It's a very special print copy of Airship Pirates.
Yeah, this is a really cool-looking book. I got to see it at the ACD show up close, having not been out of my booth at Gen Con. And... yeah, this one's really neat, and I think they're going to catch a really cool break as the new trailer for Three Musketeers has something that looks so much like this. It's unbelievable. Good to be ahead of the curve as opposed to behind the curve.
I'm just confused. I haven't seen the new Three Musketeers trailer. However, the fact that there might be airships in it strikes me as interesting. That said, go ahead.
It's very close to the Dumas novels.
With airships, yeah.
With airships.
But with airships, okay.
And we'll leave it at that.
Right, okay. And finally, our game of the week, Aliens versus Hillbillies. This is from thepurplepawn.com. It came from beyond the still, is a miniature skirmish game of defending your moonshine from alien invaders. I can't add to that. Your moonshiners fighting aliens. I just want to find out who did they find to make miniatures for this? I know the miniatures industry is small. How many did you sell? Or maybe you co-opted other lines, but I just can't imagine that they have original sculpts of hillbillies.
There's a whole line of hillbillies out there in various different.
I should have known better than to.
Shouldn't ask me about things.
How many do you own, Rhett?
I actually don't own any hillbillies, but I'm quite familiar with the line. Old Glory has a very extensive line of hillbillies.
All right. I just forget it. I'm never, ever going to mention that. I'm still waiting for a good 25-millimeter sheep, and yet there's a full line of hillbillies from Old Glory.
Well, there are 25-millimeter sheep, but you are qualifying that, and they are part of farm animals as opposed to just sheep.
Look, all I'm saying is that the ones that Rich from Games Plus tried to fob off on me as 25-millimeter were obviously 15-millimeter sheep.
No, well, there you go.
So, all right, that said, we are done with the news this week, and I want to talk a little bit about our new show format. One, we're going to be on every 2 weeks, and we're going to record the show Sunday evenings, and we're going to hopefully edit the show Sunday evening and post it Monday. Otherwise, our target is Tuesday, so you should still have the show in a reasonable time frame. We used to record the show on Thursday and get it out over the weekend so you could have it for your Monday commute. Had to change our schedule a little bit. That's one of the reasons why the show times have been the show release dates have been a little erratic the last 9 months. We're going to get that. We finally got that formalized. So Sunday night record, Monday release, or Tuesday release at the very latest. Every other show, like this one, is going to be just a news show. And every other show will be an interview or commentary show. Now, we're going to start out this week is a new show. Next week is a new show. After that, everything is going to be – every other show will be an interview or commentary. We'll talk to people in the industry. Like I said, we used to do that. We kind of got away from it for a while. We're also going to be doing commentary. We'll do things. I know that we've been asked to do a show on packaging and boxes, and we're going to do that towards Christmas. So there's a lot of good stuff coming up. And once again, we're going to try and target a half hour for our show length, right? Do you think we can do it?
Absolutely. I'm sure we can do it. Our new show should.
You couldn't even say it with a straight face on.
No, I couldn't.
Over the yeah. So, anyways, but that is our target, and the reason for that is that I
perhaps if we both had laryngitis.
Yes, or perhaps if we had a. Actually, the real problem is Mac OS X Lion has done things to my audio tools, so it's going to make editing longer shows more difficult. So we're going to target the 20 to 30-minute length for the shows. That said, Rhett, how can people contact us and comment on this amazing amount of news that we've presented this week?
Well, they can email us at papermoney@purplepawn.com. They can Skype us at Paper Money Podcast. I'm sorry, folks.
Did you get to the next line? Yeah,
I did get to the next line, which I am now ignoring.
Yes.
And apparently that right now is the only ones we're guaranteed of.
That's right. So our RSS feed is purplepawn.com/category/papermoney/feed. And this far into the internet age, I shouldn't have to tell you that they're forward slashes. But I digress. Our upcoming stuff. Well, there's a lot of things going on this fall. Rhett, let's just do a real quick rundown on this. We have Essen, which we talked about, which is October 20th to 23rd in Germany with 100,000 people showing up. But 100,000 people whose names are not Rhett and Ben.
Exactly.
Chai Tag, which is November 19th and 20th. With the preceding, with the industry, they have seminars before that and industry awards for the 2 days before that. But that weekend, 19th and 20th, is Chai Tag, which is the Chicago Toy and Game Show, Game Fair. And then also the same weekend is BGG.com, which is growing more and more important. I was just talking with Yehuda Berlinger of the Purple Pawn about some cool stuff going on at BGG.com this year. And finally, Rhett, the one that's near and dear to your heart.
Well, that would be the Alliance Show.
Yes. So if you are a retailer or a manufacturer,
Alliance Midwest specifically.
Yes, Alliance Midwest, which is really their biggest distribution center, though, still, isn't it?
I believe so.
Yeah, it's in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and if you are a retailer, it's really good to go to because it's just retailers, it's just your distributor, it's just your manufacturers. So the pressure's off, so to speak, in terms of, and they're going to fete you if you are a game retailer. Lots of swag, too, if I recall, at the Alliance
Lots
show.
Lots of swag.
Yeah.
ACD, same thing. ACD just had their show a couple of weeks ago, and astonishing how much swag you get as a retailer to attend those shows.
Yes. So, and that is October 8th. And Rhett, you will be going?
I will be there. I will
and this
be
is
in
part
attendance.
Of your new gig with that Catalyst Game Labs.
That would be my Catalyst Game Labs hat.
Yes, your expanded Catalyst Game Labs hat.
Yes.
Excellent. And our next show will be?
October 9th.
Yay.
Yeah. Woohoo.
Yes, and that's
just going to be a new show again.
Just a new show again as we slide back into this format. But we'll be, the news will tell you. It's going to be amazing.
Amazing news. You'll be shocked at what the industry is up to next. And astonished by how cool it is.
And on that bombshell, we'll see.
That's all for us. Yep. I'm Rhett Kipp.
And I'm Ben Clark. I think we did okay. We were a little rusty, but not terrible.
Yeah, we haven't done it in 2 months. It's not too bad.